Hey, everybody. Welcome to my podcast.
Hello. I'm shaking my drink.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Is that what we're calling it now? Or?
At the end of this week, yeah. That's what we're calling it.
I hate to tell you, it's not the end of the week. It's the beginning of the week.
Son of a bitch.
that was precisely my thought. Well, nevertheless, here we are. Making friends as usual, not offending anybody as usual, working tirelessly to basically just spread buttercups everywhere I go.
You're fat shaming America.
I'm fat shaming America. Not only do I make jokes about fat people, but I am a fat person, and that's offensive? I don't know.
It makes you a double Hitler?
I think so. At least, hey, are you calling me fat?
I would never.
No, I don't think you would. All right. Well, yeah, if anybody's interested in what all that is about, I firmly suggest that you forget about it and don't look into it because it's stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just stupid.
Is it aggressive point missing, or should not be allowed to, like, walk and chew gum at the same time? Should the state come in? Should they be wards of the state?
Oh. Are you suggesting that they chew gum and that's why they're fat? Is that it?
I'm suggesting that they probably have never walked in their lives or been introduced to a salad. How about that?
Okay. Well, we'll send out salads to everybody.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, they sweat bacon. You know what? Let's move along. Hey,
yes.
I have a good story here.
Sure.
I'm just going to go ahead and read it verbatim.
Should we address how late we are this week?
No.
I think we should.
All right. How late are we?
Very late. We're very late with this podcast. Not with anything else.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to cause a panic.
I know. Well, I realize when I say, hey, we're very late with this, I would think most of your listeners would understand I'm meaning the podcast, but you don't have normal listeners. They're all insane.
Number one, I don't have normal listeners. Number two, you and I are often find ourselves late and often find ourselves in a situation where you're the one who has to tell me
that I'm late.
That's happened more than once that I can recall.
Well, you pick up on these things after a while.
You know what,
but it's not about that. The reason why we're late with the podcast this week is, we were observing the Natural Family Planning Week festivities.
Oh, were we? I must have missed it.
Well, there was the parade.
There was the parade.
It was like Mardi Gras for like 1/6 of the people. For the rest of us, we were just like, ah, fuck it.
These are such inside jokes that even I don't get them. Just for the benefit of the listeners, I'm going to go ahead and read my thing because it's written on a green background with white letters and it's blinding me and I want to get it over with.
So it's classy.
Yeah. No, listen to this. You're going to like this statement. It says, so you know my sister is a veterinary student. She said a little girl brought her hamster in because it hadn't moved for 3 days and it just sat on the side of the cage and wouldn't eat or drink or anything. So she asked her if anything had happened that might have caused it. And the girl said, yeah, he escaped for a bit, but we found him under the fridge. So they have a look at this hamster and they put him on the table and he's walking around and he's eating and drinking all fine, which is really weird. And then they notice that there's something in his cheek pouch. So they look inside and they find a fridge magnet. Turns out the only thing wrong with the hamster is that he had a fridge magnet in his cheek and he was stuck to his metal cage.
Oh, no.
I kind of
love that.
Enjoyed that story so much. Hamster. Do we have any hamsters right now?
Not anymore.
We have some fucker running around in the attic at night. I don't think it's
a hamster,
though.
Yeah, but that's not a pet.
And I hear the raccoons and the crows trying to get into the garbage. The crows come in the morning and they scream and hop around for a while and then they leave a feather and they fly away.
Well, what happens is sometimes I'll get up really early in the morning and the crows will be out there.
Yep.
And before, I'll just sort of nudge the window down
because
I got a clear shot at them.
Yep.
And as soon as I nudge the window, they're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
They know what I'm up to.
The raccoons are harder to chase away, though. The other day, there were raccoons rustling around in the garbage, and I couldn't fall asleep. It was driving me crazy. I could hear them trying to break in. So I got up, and I grabbed the first thing that I could find because I wanted to throw something at them because I didn't want to get too close because they're big and they have claws and teeth. They can be pretty aggressive. So I go over there, and I don't see anything there. I think they heard me coming, actually, and they did run away. But I realize I'm standing out here. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm standing out in my driveway in my underwear holding an empty detergent bottle. Like, I got to do something with this. So I threw it at the garbage anyway. And then I went inside. So
this is why we get letters from anonymous strangers saying, can you please clean up your shit? Because you're out there at 4 a.m. in your underwear throwing stuff around.
Well, they started
No wonder we never get invited anywhere.
Yeah, there's reasons for that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of being invited no, this doesn't have anything to do with it. That's totally phony segue, but this is a story I just read. All right. No, check it out. A doctor, okay? This is in Kentucky. A doctor is about to have a baby. She's going to be, she's checked into the hospital for her induction because her baby is being induced.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it is the worst. She puts on her gown. She's getting ready to have her, getting ready to have her IVs put in. And she and her husband hear somebody screaming down the hall.
Oh, no.
So she goes to check on it. And it's a woman who's also in labor, further progressed than she is, and something has gone wrong, and the doctor who's supposed to be attending her is on his way back, but he's not there now, and the baby's in distress. So she delivers the baby. She says here, this is a quote, the woman, Leah, okay, so this is the other patient, the woman who was in trouble. The woman, Leah Halliday Johnson, was fully dilated by the doctor on call, was on his way back to the hospital after leaving for a break, the station reported. I didn't mean to say it in that voice. I'm sorry, doctor.
Why did he get, he doesn't get a break.
Breaks. Yeah, yeah.
You don't get a break during labor.
No, check. Hess quickly realized there was no time to waste. I just put on another gown to cover up my backside, and I put on some boots over my shoes to keep from getting fluid and all that stuff on me, and I went down to her room, and I knew her, Hess told the station. The TV station added she recognized Johnson as one of her patients that she had performed a checkup on days before. She's standing there in her boots and her two robes. She delivers the baby and then presumably goes back into her room and has her baby.
Oh my gosh.
I just
like legit, that's why you need to have women doctors, because a man doctor is not going to do that.
I'll tell you what a man doctor would do. This is sort of related. I don't know if you've heard this story, Damien. This is probably not necessarily in your...
may not be my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it may not be your wheelhouse. This is... Hold on. I got to find the headline. It's a vasectomy party. Snips, chips, and dips with your closest friends.
For fuck's sake.
Right? I didn't actually read this story because I thought my life was stupid enough already without knowing what's in this story. But I guess the idea is, you know, like it's this brotherhood thing and you're there to support each other and you want to put your feet up and it's kind of like a spa. And I mean, there's so many things wrong with this story. There's so many sick and wrong things with this story. But honestly, the first thing that jumped out at me is that when women get medical procedures, nobody gives them a drink and nobody lets them have chips.
No,
it's not a party. This is not, and I feel sorry for the guys who get pressured into getting a vasectomy, and it's a terrible.
They don't get pressured into it. They can't wait.
I know some guys who did it out of concern for their wives. You know, they saw their wives going through a lot of difficulties with pregnancy, and they thought, I'm going to step up and I'm going to sacrifice myself. You know, they didn't want to get it done, but
most vasectomies are timed to coincide with March Madness. You know that. That's a phenomenon where they'll time it so they can just hang around the house and watch basketball for a month.
A month?
Well, March Madness never ends. It starts in like February and ends in July, I think.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to college basketball. I could be wrong.
Is that what March? I knew it was a sports ball thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure which sports ball.
If I wanted to watch a bunch of amateurs suck, I would watch college basketball.
Okay. That was a tricky sentence right there.
Yeah.
What else do we got here? I already read the Hamster Magnet. I could just read the Hamster Magnet again.
That is a great story.
I like that one. Okay, here's something that I came across a while ago and I had forgotten about. It's actually a well-established phenomenon that in Great Britain, at the end of a soap opera, there is often a power outage for 3 to 5 minutes. Do you know why?
Pray tell.
Because everybody gets up and makes themselves a cup of tea at the same time. They plug in their electric kettle and they have a rolling blackout.
I'm sorry. This speaks to
a lot of things.
Piss poor infrastructure management, for one
it
thing.
Says, it's such a normal part of daily life for the national grid operators that they have to keep track of what's going on and the plot of upcoming popular soaps and other shows to help predict ratings. They also keep TVs in office to watch said shows so they can see precisely when a given episode ends. This is all necessary in order to keep the power grid fully operational during the very brief surges. I just thought that was cute. I just thought that was cute, and I don't want you to be mean about it.
Well, but still, like, if that happened in America, we would be pretty angry about that.
I don't know what people get angry about in America. People get angry about...
Well, we don't want to go there, really.
No.
Well, they get angry about fatties.
Oh, I'll tell you what some people get angry about. All right, this is stupid. I've seen this a couple of times. It's supposed to be like a fun date night idea that you and your date, whatever... You both go.
I'm getting angry already.
No, I know. You both go to Goodwill and you pick out a crazy outfit for each other, and then the other person has to wear it, and you go out wearing it, and it's mildly amusing for some people, I suppose. Well, some people are extremely offended about this.
Oh no! Wait,
is
this like poverty?
Poverty. What is it? Poverty tourism or slumming?
What do you do when you take culture from somebody else?
Appropriate.
It's poverty appropriation.
Poverty appropriation.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
God, I can't keep up with the bullshit language these days.
I know. I think poverty appropriation can be a real thing. That's like when you can perfectly well afford to go to a restaurant, but instead you're going to set up something that looks a lot like a taco truck because you want the experience of eating out of a taco truck.
Well, you know, couldn't you just go to a taco truck if you wanted a taco truck?
No, you can't go to a taco truck because they're gross.
No, they are not. They're awesome.
Okay.
If you've ever been to one, they're great.
I live in New Hampshire. They don't have taco trucks
here.
Yes,
they do.
Not where we are.
I was promised a taco truck on every corner.
Yeah, well, you didn't vote right, so you don't get
any tacos. Yeah, I know. I also don't have a gigantic transparent solar-powered fence either, or whatever the fuck it's supposed to be. I'm sorry.
I don't have a fence.
Moving along from that.
This is not a political podcast, no. I'd like everybody to remember. Well, anyway, this person who I can't even remember where I wrote it. It was some lady was all upset about it, and she thought that it was mocking the poor and acting like it would be completely ridiculous that anybody would ever shop at Goodwill. And this seems to me that this is somebody who has never actually shopped at Goodwill, because everybody knows that they have all different kinds of stuff there.
Yeah.
They have good stuff that sometimes, like, well-off people who are a little bit thrifty will go there because they want to find, you know, you can find Anne Klein stuff at the Goodwill for $5 or something like that. So if you don't mind, it's fun to shop at the Goodwill, even if you don't absolutely
You get a
need
lot
to.
Of stuff for not a lot of money.
Well,
everybody likes that.
Right. Everybody likes that. And there are some things that are in the Goodwill that are not as nice as other things, and poor people don't buy those things if they don't like them, you see.
Yes.
So...
No, it's always been kitsch.
I don't think that the Goodwill date night sounds like fun at all. I think that's stupid. But obviously the point of it is to find something very garish and something very ugly,
right,
and ridiculous that you wouldn't ordinarily wear, and to find something very mismatched top and bottoms, and, you know, humiliate your date because that's fun, I guess. I don't know.
It sounds fun to me, I guess.
It didn't seem to me to have anything to do with poor shaming, and it wasn't. I don't know. Just
right, can I just ask you, if I take you to the Goodwill and buy you some pajamas, will you stop running around in your underwear?
Are they raccoon repellent? Certified raccoon repellent pajamas.
Yes.
Will I consent to that?
No raccoon will bite you in the bottom.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I'm gonna quote you on that. I'm gonna have you sign an affidavit to that effect.
Certainly. I certainly will.
I'll
sign anything.
I realize I'm beating this to death, but I've been shopping at Goodwill my whole life, Goodwill, Salvation Army, you name it. And I guarantee you, if there were some, like, bona fide poor people there, people with hardly any teeth, smelling like, you know, I don't want to say wild turkey, because I know you drink wild turkey, but what's worse than wild turkey?
There's a lot.
Even wilder turkey.
Even more. Well, Old Crow is considered, like, bottom shelf. But I love it.
Yeah, well, keep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm losing more and more teeth every day, but there you go.
I think that if somebody went to the Goodwill and said, help me find the most ridiculous clothes for my boyfriend or my girlfriend, they would love it. They would find it hilarious. If they had some time, they got 3 hours to kill until the shelter opens up or whatever. You see people hanging around there. They want something to do. They would find it amusing to pick out a ridiculous outfit.
Here's the thing, though. But homeless guys don't hang out at the shelter, at the Goodwill. They don't. It's families.
Yeah.
It's people looking for a bargain. It's families. It's well, not like I've been to like big Goodwill stores, and it's not like the homeless guys don't go there. They get free clothes.
That's a good point.
Where they do go into stores is where they go into shoplift stuff, and then they go and they pawn it.
Oh, well, I'm offended.
And then they go buy their, you know,
Wilder turkey, even wilder turkey.
Yeah, yeah. Wild crow.
Wild crow, wild raccoon.
Yeah, raccoon.
Well, I hope everybody knows by now that if you want to know exactly what you should be offended about, then you should come to me, and I will be happy to oblige. Well,
I ask you a question? Yeah. What are your top 10 potato mistakes?
Can we get back to this?
Do you have any tips for bachelorette parties involving potatoes?
I feel that I have possibly signed a non-disparagement clause somewhere along
the
way.
Oh no, really?
Well,
nuts.
And I'm going to continue on to my next story because of that. Something.
Can you scream at your children when you're telling them about the divorce?
I hope so. That's the only way to do it. So there's a website called Costume Vault, and they have a blog attached to it. And I just recently came across this because my friend Melanie Bettinelli posted it, and she said she hasn't even seen this movie that they're referring to, which is the live action Beauty and the Beast, which I have no interest in seeing. I haven't heard anything good about it.
No.
So, but the post, which Melanie pointed out, is interesting because it's fascinating to see something explained very well, especially something that you never really thought about before. And it's a pretty lengthy post, and it's written by presumably a costume designer, explaining why it is that Belle's dress in the live-action movie looks so crappy. And there's a lot of different reasons for it. It was really fascinating. I recommend that people... It's called The Burning Question, What's Wrong with Belle's Dress, or something like that. And one of the, and they do a lot of side-by-side comparisons with the animated version of it and the live-action version of it. And but it was really interesting because you think that things are just sort of straightforward. You think that if you want something to look a certain way, then you make it look a certain way, and then that's how people will see it. But that is certainly not true because... like they pointed out, if you want to have somebody wearing blue jeans in a cartoon, you're not going to add in all the denim texture, even if you're technically able to do that, because that would be too much for the eye. You make it blue, and you make it clear that they're jeans, and then it'll look like jeans, right? So in the cartoon, they make her dress all different shades of yellow and golden, and it has patterns on it, and it moves in a certain way, and it's puffed out in a certain way. And they translated it more or less piece by piece into an actual silk dress, and it looks terrible because it's all made out of yellow silk, and it just kind of flops there. It doesn't look like anything in particular. It says, look at the reflections in the animated dress. Well, you'll have to look this up because you want to see the pictures. This is not yellow. It's some sort of golden magic material, which makes sense considering that she was dressed by a magic wardrobe. But even if you thought the original dress was yellow, there's another element that doesn't translate well from animation to live action. Belle's animated dress consists of varying shades of yellow so that it doesn't feel as monochromatic. Instead, Belle's live action dress is 100% yellow. Every single piece of the dress is made of the exact same shade of yellow. What this does is to flatten the image, to make it look two-dimensional. Every layer of fabric piled on top of the other to create a yellow mass that no matter how it moves ends up being just yellow, which means that the dress loses the viewer's interest pretty quickly. It barely takes one single glance to fully see it. And I thought that was so interesting because I'm fascinated at the idea of translating something from one medium into a related medium, like when you take a book and make it into a movie, right? I've seen movie adaptations of books that are extremely faithful to the book, and they're terrible. Because it's a different medium, and it's just that's something that I want to.
Well, what is a good adaptation that you've seen?
This is one that pops into my mind as being very faithful and also a very good adaptation. Night of the Hunter.
Mm.
I think the movie was actually better than the book in that case.
Yes, it was.
That's an extremely creepy movie.
Such a good movie.
Anyone who hasn't seen, what's the guy's name?
Robert Mitchum.
Oh, right, Robert Mitchum, right. Boy, does he have a creepy face.
That is the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the Friends of Eddie Coyle.
I have not.
Then you must. It's one of the best crime movies ever made. He did just so many good stuff. Out of the Past. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, Robert Mitchum in this is creepy. As anything else, the scariest character I think I've seen. And you're right, it is. I think it is better than the book. And I love the way that the recent remake of True Grit plays around with Night of the Hunter. I don't know if you caught on to that. If anybody's seen the Coen Brothers version of True Grit,
great.
Go back and watch Night of the Hunter because they're playing around with that movie.
Yeah.
A lot of great movies play around with other movies.
Right.
True Grit and Night of the Hunter is one of them. Because, you know, Night of the Hunter, it's about a villain who's chasing kids.
Right.
And True Grit is about a kid who's chasing down the villain.
Right.
And the Coens make some direct parallels between the two movies.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that. Boy, I've seen True Grit, The Royal Drawer. I've seen that movie twice, and it was, I was going to say each time I saw it, it was better, but I guess it was, I liked it the first time, and I liked it even more the second time.
It's quite good.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to like it, because I thought it was going to be one of those, you go girl kind of things.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
It's a very strong female character, but it's not about female empowerment.
No. Which is dull as hell. Oh my gosh, you know, and not to beat a dead horse, but Moana. Not to keep on going on about Moana, but one of the things that people pointed out about it, which was especially taking, was that it came out maybe more or less around the same time as Wonder Woman, which I also liked Wonder Woman, but
Wonder Woman too. But when you get down to it, it was just a very competent, well-done, fun superhero movie.
Right.
It's not a fucking cure for cancer.
No. I mean, the reason that people liked it was because it avoided making many of the mistakes that people often make when women are
the
heroine or whatever.
And it also...
And I appreciate that. Yes, and yes. I liked her, and I liked the fact that it wasn't all cleavage all the time. There was a lot to like in that movie, but it was really just a very functional movie, and that's pretty much all it was, and that's fine. But... anyway, right in the middle of all this, girl power, and she's going to wear high heels and she's going to punch everybody all the time and everything. Moana, on the other hand, she finds her way, she accepts her destiny, she listens to her conscience, she does what she needs to do, she breaks away from the things that are holding her back, she's physically strong, she learns something new, she's brave, and all these things. But when it comes down to it, the way that she conquers the villain, which I don't want to make any spoilers, but the way that she does it, the way that she basically saves the world, her island, is in a very feminine way.
Yeah.
She doesn't explode anything. She doesn't cut anybody in half or anything like that. She reminds the villain who she really is, and she restores her heart to her so that she can become who she really is. And this is, that's
prime lady stuff.
Thank you. I'm not necessarily saying I'm good at it, but that's an interesting thing. It's what John Paul II would call the feminine genius, I believe. It's a pretty good illustration of that. I know.
Oh boy.
I know. It probably sounded better in Polish.
Did it? Does anything sound better in Polish?
Wait, I have a Polish song I want to sing.
Would you woo?
Oh, would you? Would you? I grew up in a Polish parish where they sang all the Polish hymns, and I think they were about Mary. I really don't know. They were very sweet, but I didn't get a super good, clear understanding of Polish other than would you? Anyway, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time, believe it or not. Did you have a poem that you wanted me to read?
I did. I picked out a poem for you to read.
Good. I found a poet that I liked a lot, and I was looking for a poem that was short enough, and every single damn one of them was about cancer, and I thought not right now. So Damien has picked out a poem for me in this book. Which one is it? Oh, okay. I haven't read this poem before. I am now looking at it for the first time, so normally I don't have any excuse for tripping over my words, but this time I do.
Yeah.
And this is Running Lightly Over Spongy Ground by Theodore Rothke. Running lightly over spongy ground, past the pasture of flat stones, the three elms, the sheep strewn on a field, over a rickety bridge toward the quick water, wrinkling and rippling, hunting along the river, down among the rubbish, the bug-riddled foliage, by the muddy pond edge, by the bog holes, by the shrunken lake, hunting in the heat of summer. The shape of a rat? It's bigger than that. It's less than a leg. It's more than a nose. Just under the water it usually goes. Is it soft like a mouse? Can it wrinkle its nose? Could it come in the house on the tips of its toes? Take the skin off a cat and the back of an eel, then roll them in grease. That's the way it would feel. It's sleek as an otter with wide webby toes. Just under the water it usually goes.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like how it changed into, it started out as one kind of poem and then it moved into another one. And that is, I like that a lot. Hey, thanks.
Oh, you bet.
Okay. Holy mackerel. Can we open the window and get some air in here?
Yeah, but first I need to apologize if you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
That probably was my stomach making weird noises.
That's okay. We had a lot of shawarma and a lot of garlic sauce.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. That yogurt with garlic. That's good stuff.
All right.
All right.
Good night.